I just want to begin by saying it's been nice to hear from several people, maybe more than several, that when they have been gone or traveling, they might go to our website and listen to a sermon from a particular Sunday. And so I appreciate their sharing that with me. And so as I look to the months ahead, I want to extend this invitation to you that if you're traveling or you're out and about, that you go to our website and go to the Get Linked page and you listen to a sermon, send me an email that you did so. Okay? Just that you did. I'll appreciate it. And I'd like to hear from you. And so you can write down the website. You can find the email address or go to pastor@centrallutheranaz.org to say that you had listened to a sermon or that you are, and I will be touched. I will think that's great. And more so than that, I will recognize you on a morning such as this. For example, I got a message from my old friend Rick in Gary, Nebraska. Rick said, I've listened to your sermons on the webpage, and so I'm giving a shout out this morning to Rick. I will respect your privacy, though. Okay, I won't use your last name. So I just want to say hey to Rick in Gary, Nebraska. I hope you're doing well after your knee surgery. And everything continues to go well with your work at the convention center. Say hi to your wife, Judy, for me. And your three children and their families. So anyways, let me know. I'm going to talk this morning then about Peter. Peter stands with the 11 amongst the crowd, and we are told that newly inspired, he addresses the crowd and shares his sermon. I just wonder that when Peter stood up and began to talk, everybody starts checking their watches. Just like you all just did. Okay, it's now 10. We'll see how long he goes. Looking at the sundial. But I want to stress the importance of Peter's sermon. We generally understand that the scriptures tell the story of God and the people of Israel. It includes the stories of Israel's dire experiences. Long periods of history in which the people of Israel were oppressed. We read of the failures of the kingdom, failures that grew after the reigns of David and Solomon, how the kingdom was divided and then conquered first by the Assyrians and then the Babylonians. And then came the rule of the Greek Empire and then later the Romans. The people of Israel experienced this for centuries. Many of them believed that their only hope was the arrival of God's last judgment. Their only hope was the end of the world as they knew it. Their hope was for a new heaven and a new earth. Now, such dark views weren't limited just to the people of Israel. The Roman Empire had just experienced a series of civil wars that went on for 100 years that came to an end just before the time of Jesus. And during that period of time, a Roman historian said this, "The gods are indifferent to our tranquility, yet they are eager for our punishment." And so, a question of that day was, why are all of the forces and the powers and the gods who shape human affairs, why are they against us? And why is life so difficult? Why is there such darkness? And then enters Jesus. We read at the end of the Gospel how John writes how Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples. But these are written that you might come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, that you may have life in his name. That you may have life in the midst of all of this darkness and all of this turmoil and all of this pain. And so in the sermon of Peter, as we read at the beginning of the book of Acts, following the event we celebrate at Pentecost, Peter shares that now is the time of the fulfillment of God's promises. Now is the time of the renewal of the people of Israel, of God's people. And they are called to bear witness. They are commissioned. They are entrusted. They are appointed with the promises of God. Jesus has said to his disciples, "You will be my witnesses." You are to bear witness to God's dominion, to God's kingdom, to God's reign. There was a man who was speeding down the highway one day, much over the speed limit, like I know some of you are prone to do. I couldn't relate to that at all. And as you might guess, this man was pulled over by the highway patrol. The patrol officer walks up to the window, has the man roll down the window, and says, "Can you identify yourself for me, sir?" The man slips down the sun guard and lifts up the mirror and says, "Yes, that's me." Can we identify ourselves? The question is, can we identify ourselves as Christians, as these early messianists? Do we identify ourselves as the ones who believe in Jesus of Nazareth, who was anointed by God? The Jesus who was described as an enemy of Rome and therefore executed by crucifixion. And how God raised Jesus from the dead. We identify ourselves then as people of renewal and hope, living in God's kingdom, enduring this reign of God. The message of Peter is that God has once again called Israel to its mission, to be a light to the world, contrary to all of the darkness and all of the despair, to be a light. As I look at the world around us today and the world in which we live, I want to suggest one place for us to start. To recognize whenever we see the life of one individual, the value of one individual being minimized. That is where we begin. We begin then to be a light. We begin to be God's people. We look back to the words to Moses in the Sinai during the Exodus period, where we read, "Obey my voice and keep my covenant, You shall be my treasured possession out of all of the peoples. You shall be for me a priestly kingdom and a holy nation. You shall be set apart with this mission. You are called to be my people, and to be a light, to bring hope to a world that struggles in darkness. And Peter, in his message, speaking amongst the crowd, shares the words of the prophet who said, "In those days I will pour out my spirit and they shall prophesy." Men and women are to return to their divinely inspired vocation, to identify ourselves as Christians, holding on with confidence, holding on to hopefulness, equipped with the Spirit of God, to be a nation of prophets called to spread to the world a new hope, a new justice, a new forgiveness, a new grace. We are to carry with us the assurance of God's saving purpose, not just for ourselves, but for all, for each individual. Peter is calling for the people to step up, to step up. There is a man who is sharing with his friend, today I forgot to go to the gym. He goes on to say, that makes 7 years in a row now. So often we forget. We forget who we are. We forget to step up, to be who we are called to be in living this Christian life, the life of the risen Lord. A life that has a public dimension. It's not just a private affair. We are commissioned, we are called, we are appointed, we are entrusted to represent God's grace in the world. Amen.